TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. The Freeman Report and James Freeman on today's news talk radio, TNT.
Hello, it's Monday, the 23rd of January, 2023. How are you this Monday? Well, it's the third week of January 2023. It's cold, it's dark, and large swathes of the UK have freezing fog. But fear not, because I'm here to shine rays of light and truth over you here on the Freeman Report. I will bring you the stories that other stations are not allowed to talk about to keep you radiated while we wait for sunny days to return. But how was your weekend? Mine was great. I caught up with family for a big celebration, and I must say it's so nice seeing family from all over the country again together after missing out on so many big gatherings over the past 2 years. Right, now I have a great lineup of guests for you this week. Senators, MEPs, a very high profile, very important YouTuber will be joining me on Thursday. And all, as always, I have lots of brilliant doctors on the show. I have a very special show for you today. First up, I've got Tony Nikolic. Tony is a civil rights lawyer practicing in Australia with a passion for transparency in government. We'll be talking about all sorts. One of the things we'll be talking about is where have all the lawyers gone over the last couple of years? We'll be talking about all of the work Tony's been doing to help people who suffered from the government restrictions on lockdowns and vaccine mandates. So that will be a fascinating discussion. Second up today, I have Dr. Tony Hinton. Tony is a consultant surgeon with over 30 years experience. He's now retired, but he's a member of the Heart Group. So we'll be talking about the Heart Group and some of the work that it's been doing over the last few years, Tony's experience of what has been a pretty torrid time over the last 3 years. We'll be talking about the work he's been doing in terms of campaigning and also his experience of censorship. In a moment, we'll be going over to Dee Dee Denslow to talk about one of the big stories of the day. But first, I just want to talk about tomorrow's show as well, because tomorrow's show is dedicated to vaccine injuries. I've got two people, guests on the show tomorrow who were part of my documentary. They're both members of UKCV Family, the Vaccine Injured Support Group. They'll be talking about their experience of the last few years of having to deal with their vaccine injuries, but also about how they've been treated by both the media and the government and what's going on with the government compensation scheme. In the second hour, we will also have the wife of somebody who's been vaccine injured to talk about the impact that it has on family and close friends. And we'll also be joined by Dr. Christian Buckland, who's a practicing psychologist, who'll be telling us from a professional point of view, the impact that particularly, you know, these people have been injured, but the way they've been treated by government and by media and the impacts that that has on these people. Okay, so in a minute, we'll have Tony Nikolic. So Tony is obviously Australian. He's a civil rights lawyer there. So I just wanted to spend a few moments just talking about some of the torrid things that have happened to our Australian cousins over the last 3 years. So the virus hunts down the unvaccinated, said Queensland's premier, while justifying what amounted to house arrest for the unvaccinated. Dr. Chris Perry of the Australian Medical Association said life will be miserable without being vaccinated and you will not be able to hide. Insults, slurs and fear-mongering were common as were physical assaults on ordinary citizens by an authoritarian police force. For crimes such as sitting alone on a park bench, exercising the right to peaceful protest, or liking posts on Facebook, believe it or not, contrary to the government's authoritarian opinion. Peaceful crowds of full of families were treated to rounds of pepper and tear gas, and thousands of people either quit their job in protest or lost their job because of vaccine mandates. People from all walks of life were demonized long after the state mandates were dropped. They were expelled from their jobs for daring to question the legitimacy of the vaccine mandates, or for simply exercising their right, their human right, to decide what to stick in their body. Words like granny killer were thrown about. And then, of course, we had the Australian Tennis Open, where Novak Djokovic was kicked out of the country and Australians were banned from even wearing T-shirts supporting him or holding up banners. And this is the tip of the iceberg. What has happened in Australia over the last 3 years has genuinely shocked me, because I'd always viewed Australians as being laid back and easygoing. So stick with me, because in a moment I will have Tony Nikolic, human rights lawyer, or civil rights lawyer, I should say, on the show to explore what the hell has been going on in Australia over the last 3 years. Now, there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio. You can stream TNT direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or you can download the app from the App Store or Google Play Store. We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey, so there's never an excuse to miss your favorite show on TNT Radio.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, Darren, Florida defends blocking woke high school courses. What's that all about?
Yeah, I've selected this story because it's actually a more pressing issue than just in Florida or across the USA. The proposed African American study class amounted to indoctrination masquerading as education, a senior Florida state official has said. Florida Education Commissioner Manny Diaz-Gia has defended the state's decision to block the teaching of a high school African-American studies course that he described as indoctrination into critical race theory. This comes after Florida's actions were criticized by the White House. So there's this ongoing tension, in particular with the state of Florida, governed by Ron DeSantis and the White House. Despite the lies from the Biden White House, Florida rejected a course filled with critical race theory and other obvious violations of Florida law, Diaz Jr. tweeted on Saturday, adding that the state already proudly requires the teaching of African-American history. We do not accept woke indoctrination masquerading as education, he wrote. According to the commissioner, officials objected to the books proposed for the course, which include topics such as intersectionality and activism, great read that is, I'm sure, Black queer studies, the reparations movement, which I'm going to touch on in a minute, and Black feminist literary thought. The issues of reparation, financial compensation to the descendants of slaves, was one of the examples in which the course offered no critical perspective or balancing opinion, officials argued. The course was developed by the College Board, a nonprofit that prepares standardized tests for students seeking college admissions. In a rejection letter dated January 12th, the Florida Education Department said the program is illegal under state law and significantly lacks educational value, as cited by the media. During a regular press briefing on Friday, White House spokesman Karine Jean-Pierre blasted Florida's decision. The state chooses a to block a course that is meant for high achieving high school students to learn about their history of arts and culture, and it is incomprehensible, she said. However, the White House added they do not dictate any curriculum for local schools. But actually, this is a far wider, bigger problem than just the state of Florida, which seems to be a bulwark to the critical race theory, gender studies, this woke infiltration of the education system in the West, because it's playing out in schools up and down in the UK. You've just mentioned, you know, some of the craziness that happened in Australia. Australia too has a woke problem, particularly in the metropolitan areas, where a lot of that craziness, the COVIDian stuff, sprouted out from. And in particular, in the UK, we see a massive effort to decolonize the curriculum. I don't 100% know what that means, only that this decolonization effort hits every topic from the expected social studies and psychology and psychiatry all the way up to my own scientific subjects like chemistry, which is a course that is now being made very, very woke, and maths. How do you make maths woke? How do you decolonize maths, which is based just on numbers? Yet there is every effort to do this by embedding critical race theory, gender studies, all the woke ideology into the topic one way or the other. And it's Florida and DeSantis seems to be a bulwark to this type of ideology in our schools, James.
Yeah, Darren, I must admit, I don't comment an awful lot on this on social media and publicly, but I do have quite a lot of views on it. I think there's just so many things that you can talk about these days that you literally, there's so many things going wrong that it's difficult to cover all of them. But I mean, my kind of view of critical race theory is it's a basically much more sophisticated form of divide and conquer. What you do is, instead of picking, you know, red, blue, right, left, whatever it is, you create lots of little boxes and they all have a very, very precise identity. You get everybody to join one of these boxes as this is my identity. And then you tell everybody how different they are from all the other boxes and how all of the other boxes are trying to suppress them. And then lo and behold, everybody ends up arguing and divided. And I think that is the purpose of this, because really we should all be talking about what we have in common, right? We all want to get on. We want a harmonious society. We want to live alongside each other. So what we should be doing is talking about how, what, you know, the similarities we have and what we have in common. Elon Musk describes this as the woke mind virus, because I think a lot of people who subscribe to the woke mind virus actually think they're being virtuous. And the problem that I have with it is look, the key here is tolerance. I am tolerant of anybody. I don't care how they want to live their life. They can put a dress on. They can do whatever they want. I really, really don't have a problem, and I'm not judgmental. But that goes both ways, you know. They have to be tolerant of everybody else as well. And I think, you know, there are people within particularly the trans community. And I'm bringing that up because I think that is very, very contentious these days. But there is, you know, there's a lot of people in the trans community that actually don't agree with the very activist element of that community, because what that, the activist sort of segment of that community is doing is telling all of the rest of us, even though actually, you know, the number of people that are trans is very, very small, this activist element is telling the rest of us what to think, what to say, and what to do in a lot of circumstances. You know, the fact that I saw a picture the other day, which is just shocking, of two toilets. They're public toilets. One is for men, and the other toilet is for men and everybody else, which is just bonkers. It seems like we're going backwards, particularly in women's sport. I know I'm going off topic here, but it's all it's all related. So I think the key word with all of this is tolerance. You know, if you're tolerant of other people, they will be tolerant of you. And let's drop all of this critical race theory nonsense, because, as I said, I think it's a road to division and argument, which is, you know, the evidence is there backing up what I'm saying, because if you look at America and the arguments going on there, it's becoming really, really complicated and quite poisonous. So I don't know whether you agree with that, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, you described intersectionality perfectly by, you know, describing how everyone's just put into a box with their own unique and very specific identity, and they've divvied up society like that. And yeah, this woke stuff is a mind virus, and it's full of so many contradictions that people get lost in it. You know, if you're not a racist, that means you are a racist. Hey, hey, you know,
yeah, you have to be an anti-racist, don't you?
You got to be an anti-racist, you know, and then they get lost in that. And it's quite apparent that the least tolerant members in our society are the ones on the very far left who are fully, you know, conversant and soaked up in this ideology. They're the ones who are the least tolerant. Believe what we believe, or you are a racist, you are a transphobe, you are not part of the group, you're not a tolerant person unless you believe what I believe in. And, you know, again, there is just another contradiction in which these people get completely lost and consumed by. And it's great that Florida is standing up to it. The woke stuff is actually fracturing the USA to the point where there are talks of secession by some states, because they want to remove their population from the insanity, James. So I brought this subject up because it is a massive issue in our schools, and it's our young people who are being indoctrinated. And obviously, they are our future, James.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if you're a worried parent listening to this, and, you know, it is creeping into our schools at the moment, I guess I can reassure you by saying, as a, you know, I studied psychology to a master's level, is that children, I think it's roughly around, they get 80% of all their knowledge and opinions of the world from their parents, and about 20% from school. So just make sure you talk to your kids about all of these topics. I talk to my kids. We talk about what they're being taught in school, and we talk about the issues. I treat them like intelligent beings as they are, and we talk in depth. And so what that does is it acts as a vaccine, controversial word there, against this woke mind virus. Okay, Darren, thanks.
Cheers,
thank you very much. You'll be joining me in the next hour to go over one of the other big stories of the day. But we're just going to take a quick break, and after that, I will be joined by Tony Nikolic.
TNT Radio's Joe Hoft.
We're seeing Brazil go through the same experience that the U.S. did. I saw a great piece this morning coming out of Brazil, and they show this picture, and you can see this event for Lula, the radical socialist former criminal behind bars who was let out by communists that took over their Supreme Court, who've really, through strict and absolute fascism, have shut down that country. They've done a massive takeover of Brazil. It's now becoming socialist, not due to the people wanting it, but due to the communists taking it over and doing so. We're one step away of communism worldwide. We're one step away, and that's where we are today. And if you think things are easy now or hard now, you wait. You wait till these commies take over. You say one thing out of line, you look bad one way, your picture will be everywhere. Somebody just doesn't have to like you, and you're gone. You will be gone. Life means nothing to these people. It's nothing. Humans are just things that need to be used to make these elites' lives better.
Joe Hoft on TNT Radio.
When a child is sick, there's one thing they need. A really big cookie.
Welcome to RMHC.
And parents of sick children have tons of decisions to make. Like movie night, game night, or should we finish that book tonight? We don't perform surgeries, just talent shows. We're not big on poking sticks and beeping machines, but we're the best at playing dress up. Well, we have a few beeping machines. We think the tooth fairy should travel everywhere. And while hospitals have doctors and nurses, we have mom and dad. We don't provide treatment, but we do provide dogs. And we throw some really good parties. Because at Ronald McDonald House Charities,
we are home.
We help families feel at home, even when they can't be. Donate today at rmhc.org/donate.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Brace yourselves immediately.
Be a part of the conversation and follow TNT Radio on Gab, Getter, and Twitter.
We can all learn something from that.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back with me, James Freeman, on the Freeman Report. So before the break, I was talking a little bit about what a torrid time Australians have gone through over the last few years. It does seem, well, I'm confused. I've always seen Australians as very laid back, easygoing population. So it really has shocked me what has gone on over the last 3 years in Australia. Right now, I've got Tony Nikolic on the line with me. So Tony is a civil rights lawyer practicing in Australia with a passion for transparency in government. And that's something we need desperately at the moment. Hello, Tony.
G'day, James. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, I'm honoured to have you on the show, Tony. So obviously in Australia, it's the summer holidays at the moment. What are you up to? Are you a barbecue man or are you by the beach or what are you doing this week?
And if that was a multiple choice question, I've just ticked every box. So
I'm very jealous because it's cold, damp and miserable here in the UK at the moment. So no, thank you for joining me. Okay. All right. Well, before we start talking about your work over the last 3 years, please, can you just describe from your own personal experience what's been going on, some of the worst excesses of government overreach, and all the other things that's been going on over the last 3 years?
Well, James, it's certainly been one of those things where We kind of hoped it was a dream or a bad dream, if you'd like to call it that. What we've been seeing over the past 3 years during the lockdowns, we've had restrictions of access to medical care. We've had people pepper sprayed as young as 12-year-old, pepper sprayed by police for not wearing a mask in circumstances where the law didn't require them to wear a mask. And in those circumstances, we had people with exemptions who were pepper sprayed and it was what we've seen here is some of the most extreme breaches of human rights. We had a 70-year-old lady pushed to the ground, pepper sprayed on her back whilst she was on the ground. We've had pregnant mums taken out of their homes for posting on Facebook. This is not the Australia that, we grew up in, and certainly not the Australia that our proud countries, and don't get me wrong, we love this country, and I guess that's why we do what we do, is because we want to preserve, and we hope that we come back to that integral feature of what was a free, democratic, participatory democracy in circumstances where it's the people who lead, and we have representatives who represent the people. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of people over the successive world wars and number of wars, James, that obviously the UK, Australia, the Commonwealth, and the USA, we heard these mantras of, we're fighting for freedom, but we've seen everything but that. We've actually seen something that bordered on tyranny and dictatorship.
Yeah, so one of the things I think it's important to point out, and I'm certainly no expert on this, but, in the UK, we've been watching these videos coming out of Australia with absolute horror. But when I've spoken to people in Australia, it does seem that it's been quite different in different parts of Australia. I wonder if you could just say a little bit about how, I think there's 5 regions of Australia, I think I'm right in saying that, and just, how they've been differently impacted over the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, look, there's essentially two territories, the Australian Capital Territory, Northern Territory. Then we have Western Australia, Queensland, South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, and Tasmania. So every one of those states and territories handle this very differently. But what I will say is this is Victoria is one of the most locked down states in the world, not in Australia, but the world, okay? What they experienced down in Victoria and the intestinal fortitude of those Victorians who stood up in the face of what we called, well, there was a joke going around at the time, and it's certainly not one that we were laughing about, but they called it Afghanistan because Daniel Andrews was the leader and still is, and so they called it Afghanistan. You couldn't talk, you couldn't leave your house. New South Wales is obviously another one. People were restricted from going outside of 5 kilometres, just like in Victoria. Queensland, they started to follow. What you're seeing was this little cascading event coming across Australia. South Australia followed, and then West Australia closed. They had like hard border closures, and people couldn't get in and out. We had, I was talking to children as young as 8 and 9 years old in Sydney who hadn't seen one of their parents in 8 or 9 months because they couldn't get across, you know. And you know, there were various reasons as to why that would occur. And some of these kids, they were holding up signs, you know, at rallies, and they were just saying, I just want to see my dad. I haven't seen him in months. And this is what we were facing. James, we had people who couldn't access medical care, okay? They, cancers, I know when we ran our case here, ladies, you know, who were looking for breast screening and whatnot, they couldn't access that care. It was outrageous.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of, you know, because one of the big questions I have is why the hell did Australians accept this? Now, I know there was pushback, but the police obviously came down very, very heavy on them. But do you think, and one of the questions that I'd like to explore a little bit in a moment, we're just going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll just talk a little bit about the fear that was created by the government. And what I'd like to explore with you, Tony, is... do Australians actually realise now that it was fear generated by the government as opposed from the actual virus itself? Right, okay, we're going to take a quick break now. Stick with me and we'll carry on where we left off with Tony Nikolic.
What's happening?
Newsflash.
TNT Radio News. Hey!
Matt Boyland here with a quick look at your TNT headlines. A top American general has warned Washington must step up its game in Latin America if it wants to compete with the growing influence of Russia and China in the region. Pakistan says it's not worried about repercussions from the West after striking a deal with Moscow to import cheap Russian oil. And the walls are closing in on US President Joe Biden after the FBI reluctantly searched his home in Delaware and recovered more classified documents.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I have Tony Nikolic on the line. Hello, Tony.
Right, mate. Thank you.
So before the break, we were just talking about, you know, these awful things that the Australian population accepted. Like I said, there was big pushback from the police when anybody tried to protest. But largely, you don't get away with policies so extreme as this if the population or a large swathes of the population don't accept it. Now, obviously, there was a lot of fear that was generated, the same as it was across many countries. In the UK, we had the behavioural psychologists at the heart of government planning how to make everybody as frightened as possible. So, you know, I think a lot of people were scared and they accepted it because of that. But do you think now that we've come out the other side, and particularly now, you know, we know a lot more about the virus and, you know, who's at risk, do you think the Australian population has woken up to the fact that largely this was their government trying to scare them?
Oh, certainly. What we're seeing right now, James, is that the people are starting to wake up. And I know, see, almost 18 months ago, if I was to talk to someone on the street, they'd call me a tin hat or tin foil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. One of the things that we're talking about now is, don't you just hate it when those conspiracies are true, because they're not conspiracies anymore, they're truths. Okay, so where are we right now? This is where we're at. Is that in July 2021, I wrote a letter to most ministers around Australia, including the current Prime Minister, who wasn't a Prime Minister at the time. He was copied into that email. And that's where we put our stake in the sand, so to speak. We put the science out there. We put the state of scientific knowledge at that point. At that point, there were many safety signals, James. Those safety signals pointed to a lot of areas of concern, especially in adults and children. Now, there was a significant amount of the population. I know we'll. And there was a great guy here by the name of Christian Mac, or Mac, they call him Mac. We were putting 50, 60,000 people on the streets of Sydney. There was up to 400,000 people or so in, or 500,000 in Victoria. Another 400,000 or 500,000 we took to the capital of Australia on 12th of February, 2022. Right there outside Parliament House, there was 400, 450,000 people. And they were... We say that was one in 10 because people drove from all over Australia to get there. But where are we now? Well, I can tell you right now, people that we're talking to on the streets, it went from you're a conspiracy theorist to, well, maybe they were just doing the best they could. So it's gone from these ridicule and they're backpedaling now. And now I'm actually getting people calling my office, James, saying, you know what, and I can't use that colourful language here, but we are upset. We were lied to. We feel as though we were lied to. We were told that we had to stay in our homes to protect Nana, Papa. You know, we had to protect our neighbours. We had to protect our family. But one thing we did in our case, and it was the case of Kassam v. Hazard, what we said was there, and it's in our affidavit, so we're not making this up, is that it didn't stop transmission. We knew it then. It didn't stop hospitalizations, and it didn't stop, obviously, the deaths that occurred. And those that were at risk were still in 65 age bracket and higher. Now, where are we now? That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. You want me to tell you what's changed? Is Pfizer has admitted now, a year and a half later, after we put it to the court, unfortunately, the media blacked it out because, as you know, it was a couple, just November or October, Robert Roos, in the European Parliament, had Pfizer concede that. Now, a year and a half earlier, we already put that up there, and it's great that they've conceded it, because when I said we put our stake in the sand, that was the state of scientific knowledge that we put forward. And the state of scientific knowledge at that point showed that there were significant safety signals that were hurting people and potentially killing people. Now we know 100% that was the case. How are they going to get out of it? Well, they're starting to change their journal articles and, you know, well, maybe we did this and maybe we could have done that, okay? Well, no, because that's why we put it all in writing and we even ran the cases, okay? Yes, they weren't successful, James, those cases, but I can tell you now, just like thalidomide, Agent Orange, tobacco, asbestos, all those early cases failed, but now we know. We know that each one of those things are deadly toxins to the human body, and that's only an example of how the people of this country and every country around the world, I said it the other day on Stu Peters, this wasn't mandating a vaccine, this was mandating a harm.
Yeah, and it got really nasty, didn't it? I mean, people were threatened with their jobs, like they were in lots of countries. I think the UK got off pretty lightly, to be honest with you, when I look at what went on around the rest of the world. But people were losing their jobs, weren't they, Tony? Because they were being told, you get the jab or you're gone.
Well, absolutely. I represent a number of police officers. I was very close to the police. I worked in the Institute of Criminology and various police stations around New South Wales for quite some time. Absolutely love the people, great people. What they do for our societies, whether it's here, whether it's in the UK, or, you know, without them, you know, what I'm saying is we need them. They're lovely people. But I think at the top, there's a culture that permeated downwards. But what they actually showed there was the police, the fire brigades, paramedics. Got a good friend, John Larder, paramedic. He also did a case straight after us. Great guy. Paramedics. So we're talking emergency services who 12 months later, our governments were saying, we need these people, we need them, they're saving lives. So we had nurses. And you know what they did? They turned around and they fired, or they sacked each and every one of them if they chose what was going to go in their body. And yet at the same time, we had the Prime Minister of Australia doing interviews, and he was saying that what you put in your body is your choice, it's up to you to consent. But yet on the other hand, these people were all being fired. So We were being told it was a case of ducks and drakes, okay? If it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, they were selling a squirrel and everyone bought it.
That's a very, very good way of putting it. I like that, Tony. So the media then, I think sort of interpreting and breaking down what you're saying there is the media have had a big, big influence in Australia because, you know, how can you get away with the Premier talking like that? And yet what was actually going on the ground was something very, very different. What is the media sort of structure like in Australia? Do you have much of what we, I guess, refer to in the UK as new media, this alternate media?
Well, yeah, we certainly do. Look, we've got this independent media. I guess we're on one right now. TNT's really come flushing through. People, I know people call me all the time saying, hey, you know, did you hear TNT radio? And, you know, 18, 19 months ago, no one would have, you know, said much about it. But, you know, here we are. Hey, guys, did you hear this interview? Such and such was on TNT. We've also got other people such as Maria Z. We've also got, you know, the Stu Peters show. We've got all these other shows out there, Tucker Carlson. They're all doing great stuff. But what I'm going to say is this, is we need to get away from the mainstream because the alternative media, which is where we're at right now, is going gangbusters. It is absolutely going gangbusters because this is where, and they're being objective. That's the thing. They're reporting objectively. If there's a study out there and it says, well, hey, COVID did this or COVID did that, but then there's another study, they'll report on that. The other side, what we used to call mainstream, but we now term legacy media, because they are the legacy media. It's like having a stealth fighter and an old hot rod back in the 60s now. So we're the stealth fighters now. So so what we have now here is this, is that we're getting objective news coming to the population and they cannot, that's why they wanted to censor. And you know what was happening with the censorship. They were censoring doctors. They were censoring alternative media. We had the censorship of scientists. Anyone that was coming out and all they wanted to do was bring objectivity. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing illegal with bringing another side to an argument. Otherwise, it couldn't be an argument. It becomes propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we get accused in new media of getting it wrong sometimes. And I'll put my hand up and say that sometimes we do get it wrong. But, you know, my retort to that, to the legacy media, would be they got it all wrong over the last couple of years, didn't they? I mean, they were telling us, you know, you've got to save granny, but, you know, the vaccines stop transmission. If you take the vaccines, you won't get COVID. On every one of the big sort of messages about science and the vaccines, the mainstream media got it wrong. So, I mean, 100% in the UK...
100%. Yeah. Sorry, James. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Not only did they get it wrong, is they got it royally wrong. So wrong, in fact, is that so many people are being hurt as a result of those wrongs. And them saying, and here's the cracker, is they said, we have the science and it is safe and effective. But the manufacturer themselves never had the science because they've conceded that. And where did the term safe and effective come if the Australian health minister, and I don't know whether it happened in the UK or whether it happened in the USA, but I can tell you for certain here, because we know it, and it's in my article of The Spectator, is that he came out and he said, we are now in the world's biggest clinical trial. You cannot come out and make a conclusive statement of safe and effective without that clinical trial being over. That clinical trial still isn't over. Where did they get this term safe and effective? Well, they got it because they propagandized a clinical trial. They never had it. And then we need to have a look at how they got there. Well, they used this PCR testing method and what happened at Pearl River. I suggest everyone have a look at Brooke Jackson, what's happening at Pearl River, because there's some dramatic stuff that's going to come out of there.
Unpack that a bit for me, Tony. I'm not familiar with that. Pearl River.
Well, Pearl River was one of the clinical trial testing sites that Brooke Jackson has. She's a whistleblower in the USA, bringing a case under the False Claims Act. And that's. I urge you all to go there. I won't. You know, I think if you go and read it for yourself, it'll be a bit more accurate than, you know, what I want to say. But I'll tell you right now is that Brooke is right on top of what's happened out there. Now, the PCR, that's another issue altogether, okay, the PCR testing, because all they had to do was ramp up the cycle threshold and you could test anyone positive. Pawpaws were testing positive for COVID. Pawpaws are fruit. So, you know, you can do almost anything you want.
Yeah, no, I am actually aware of that case after you spoke some of the detail. Right, okay, we're just going to take a quick break, but stick around and we're going to carry on talking with Tony Nikolic after the break.
Having a gas stove is like a car idling in your living room? What the?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Only on CNN, CNN's climate reporter Bill Ware had this to say about having a gas stove in your home.
The science is showing us that having a gas stove in a small apartment, especially with bad ventilation, it's like having a car idling there. And if you have young kids, it can affect cognitive abilities as well as asthma.
That's right. According to CNN, a gas stove in your home is like a car idling, making your children dumb and sick. But wait, the Washington Post say scientists say a growing body of research shows gas stoves pose a threat to the planet. Do you have a killer gas stove in your home? For the sake of your health and the planet, get rid of it! So say the experts. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
One disease. Millions of lives permanently disrupted. But Alzheimer's disease is taking more than memories. It's taking lives. What few realize is that Alzheimer's kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. Everyone is at risk, even you. And everyone can help, especially you. We're the Alzheimer's Association, the brains behind saving yours. Join us.
Visit the Alzheimer's Association online at alz.org to find out more. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back with me, James Freeman, on the Freeman Report. On the line, I've got civil rights lawyer Tony Nikolic, who operates in Australia. Hello, Tony.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm honoured to have you on the show. And it's fascinating for me, like I said, because we've been in the UK, we've been seeing these terrible, terrible videos and stories coming out of Australia. So it's good to have you on the show to hear about that in firsthand. Okay, before the break, we were sort of skimming around the areas of censorship and the media, the legacy media versus new media like TNT. So with online censorship, Tony, I'm assuming that's been going on in Australia. How has that changed with the Elon Musk buying Twitter? Has that had an impact in Australia?
Well, it certainly has, and you know, good on him. I think that what Elon has done, he's captured what the free press should be doing. It shouldn't be. Right now we're talking as though it's this anomaly. It should. This is how society should operate. It should be free and open. James, I think you know, and I know. Look, every now and then, there may be some issues where, you know, what we see is, you know, the media come in and they do things and they say things, but then you get some people on social media who take that a bit too far. We can understand if that was to be the case, okay? Let's say a fundamentalist, for example, okay? Well, obviously, you know, that needs to be taken, hate speech. Well, what is hate speech? Obviously, we need to define that. But if we take it at its most serious case, you could see maybe why that may be censored, okay? But you do not censor science, okay? This is legitimate science. And what's been happening here is that we've been seeing legitimate science being censored. So when you tender a scientific document to a journal and they don't print it or press it out because they believe it does not fit into my ideology, now we start fitting into the USSR. USSR, and he did a few things back there when it came down to agriculture. And what ended up happening is that there was an epic failure in Ukraine and many people starved because the USSR put such ideology and not a science, and that we've done here. We have put are you guys there? Yep. Okay. So we have put much effort into an ideology and not science, and that's what's happened here.
Yeah, and has the government in Australia commented on Twitter at all? Because I know the European Union did early on, and some of the other governments around the world. Have they made any official comments about Twitter since Elon Musk took over?
Not really, but what we hear a lot of is we need to monitor our social media networks and we need to ensure the accuracy of media. That only spells one thing for us, and that is what are they going to do to regulate social media? And have science. You can't call it science because science is about open debate. It's not about a consensus, and we keep hearing that. Everyone should understand this. Science is not about a consensus. Science is about open debate, about evidence and facts. And that's how we get things, because if we just sat there and agreed with everything that one scientist said, then we end up in this what we call Lysenkoism doctrine, where all we get is people starving and dying because we're not looking at what the evidence is doing. We're looking at what the ideology is telling us. And in this case, the ideology is telling us it's safe and effective. Circumstances where they never had that evidence. They never had that evidence.
Yeah, exactly, Tony. I think, you know, and this is really critical, isn't it? Because, you know, like you said, science is never settled. And, you know, if we try and pretend that it is and we try and to cut down scientific debate, then what we actually do is we stop progress. And that becomes very, very dangerous, both to the scientific debate, but also, do we really want governments controlling the narrative 100%? I mean, Jacinda Ardern, the former Prime Minister, or the soon-to-be former Prime Minister of New Zealand, seems to think so when she said that we will be your single source of information, which for me, when a government says that, alarm bells start to ring. So in terms of actual laws, Tony, in the UK here, we've got moves. We've got a bill going through Parliament called the Online Safety Bill, which has been hugely contentious. It's been batting around Parliament backwards and forwards. Do you have any new laws coming on board to do with disinformation and misinformation in Australia?
Yeah, in particular, in Queensland, here in the state of Queensland, a recent law was passed where medical practitioners, especially medical practitioners, couldn't engage in what they called misinformation or disinformation. Obviously, with that meant, you know, in relation to vaccines, but also something more pressing early on in 2021, I believe 9 March 2021, the Australian Health Regulator Protection, the Australian Health Regulator wrote a letter to all practitioners, in effect telling them that you must not engage anything that may be considered towards vaccines. So what we've seen is this steady campaign and this steady move by government organisations and regulatory agencies going against practitioners. So even if a practitioner, for instance, looked at a patient and said, well, look, you've got a heart condition, we know that these vaccines now, or I call them jabs, are being linked, and there's a significant correlation between them and myocarditis and pericarditis. So even if someone had a heart condition, the doctor couldn't say or do anything or write an exemption or without being reprimanded, or in some circumstances, some doctors were deregistered. So here we have government agencies intervening in the doctor-patient relationship in circumstances where that doctor could be giving that person life-saving information, but yet because it doesn't accord with what the government's saying, it's being declared misinformation and disinformation. if you have a look in California.
That is,
same thing's happened in California with the legislature 2098, where Gavin Newsom passed a very similar bill over there, or legislation over there. This has gone beyond government intervention. This is now becoming government control of an individual health. Okay, that's what's happened here.
Yeah, I find that absolutely despicable, Tony, because when I go and see the doctor, I want to go and see the doctor, not speak, have my doctor speak through a mouthpiece of the government. I want that doctor to assess me and how I am and give me the best advice that they can with their clinical experience. I don't want to hear the latest propaganda from the government. So this is extremely worrying. Right, Tony, we've got a couple of minutes left. So I wonder if you just want to tell us what's going on. We've talked about all of the problems at the moment, but what's going on in Australia in terms of trying to challenge all of this, whether it's protesters, lawyers like you? If you could just, for a couple of minutes, just give me a summary of what's happening in Australia that gives you hope at the moment.
Well, again, it's a case of ducks and drakes. They say that the mandates are over. They're not. You've still got mandates in many of the government institutions. People are still jumping up and down. We've got what we call industrial relations laws here, or employment law. We as a law firm, also assist those people. We were talking about emergency services earlier. I'm assisting a number of police, fire, paramedics. Again, they were thrown under the bus, strictly speaking, by their loyal employer, who only 12 months earlier, everyone was praising them for doing what they were doing in the community. And then 12 months later, they're throwing them under the bus and just sacking a lot of them because they didn't want to undertake this. So we're assisting them through the courts. There are various challenges going through the courts with respect to mandates. There's another one going through, I believe, very soon, or if not filed already, about the jabs actually being gene modification therapy and not a vaccine. Okay, that's going to be another watershed moment here. I run a number of cases with airlines, and that's another significant one where pilots here, so the Civil Aviation Safety Authority, we call them CASTA, they're not allowing pilots with two similar conditions to fly together, okay? That is a very significant concern, okay? Because a lot of these amendments have only just come in, and what essentially that means is that these pilots, if someone's got a heart condition and someone's got a heart condition and they're both the pilots, they can't fly together.
Yeah.
They know
which sounds totally sensible. I wouldn't want two pilots in a plane that I was on a passenger that both had the potential to have a heart issue in mid-air. Listen, thank you, Tony. Thank you so much for joining me. Apologies for the problems on the line, but I think we covered lots of ground with you today, Tony. Thank you for joining me again. Right, stick around because I've got Tony Hinton on with me next.